There's a boat that's leaving soon for New York.
Pulling in New York, I'm chilling in New York. The hoods is on my block and the brothers at the court.
God bless New York City, my big apple pie. Bless all them big old buildings that poke up through the sky.
This week, Morning Edition begins a weekly series every Monday. It's a visitor's guide to New York City from longtime denizen writer David Sedaris.
Shortly after moving to New York, I got a job with a small moving company owned and operated by a far-sighted communist named Kevin. I'd never cared for the few self-proclaimed Marxists I'd met back in college, but Kevin was different. One look at his teeth and you could understand his crusade for universal health care. He lived alone in a dark, rent-controlled apartment filled with soft snack foods and scrapbooks of letters sent by long-suffering comrades currently serving time for running arms or holding up credit unions. Kevin's moving company consisted of himself, a dented bread truck, and a handful of helpers hired according to the size of any given job. The strongest member of the group was a fellow named Wayne, a convicted murderer who, at the age of 15, had killed his sister's boyfriend. Because, he said, I don't know, I just didn't like the guy. How much of a reason does a person need? At 6'4" and close to 300 pounds, Wayne was a poster boy for both the moving industry and the failure of criminal rehabilitation. I can't promise I'll never kill anyone again, he'd say, strapping a refrigerator to his back. It's unhealthy to live your life with too many boundaries. The best part of the job was that it introduced me to the various neighborhoods of Manhattan and the surrounding boroughs. Most of our customers were moving into places they couldn't possibly afford. They were anxious about money and quick to complain should anything get scratched or broken. These were my fellow New Yorkers, men and women who made me think that maybe Wayne was onto something. When someone docks your pay over a chipped $2 ashtray, why eliminate murder as a viable response? I recall going late one night to the East Village where we were scheduled to move an attractive young woman who found it charming to spell the name Kim with an H, a Y, and two M's. The door opened to the sound of jittery club music broadcast from an enormous stereo system. Popcorn snapped away on the stovetop and all of her belongings appeared to be in place. I thought we had the wrong apartment and was ready to apologize when she asked, "Are you the movers? Great, come on in." The phone rang and she talked for a few minutes before covering the mouthpiece to say, I couldn't find any boxes or whatever, so just, you know. Just, you know, what? Just use the magic powers granted by the tiny sultans we carried in our back pockets, or just, you know, go home. Personally, I was ready to leave. Kim struck me as the sort of person who'd always gotten by on her looks, but I doubted her act would work with Kevin. To the best of my knowledge, communists favored beefy girls with thick ankles and strong backs, all the better for chafing weed and lugging sacks of rice. Oh, what the hell, Kevin said. We're here, aren't we? While climbing the four flights of stairs for another armload of shampoo, I entertained cruel and unusual fantasies that grew more pronounced once we'd packed up the truck and arrived at a new apartment on the fifth floor of yet another walk-up building. When presented with the bill, she stuffed it into her purse, claiming she'd try to send the check just as soon as she received her insurance settlement. Kevin wound up paying us from his own pocket but refused to join in when Wayne and I grumbled about the girl's complete lack of common sense. He was unpredictable that way. Sometimes we'd walk into a well-packed apartment, and if the client was male and moderately successful, Kevin would say, "Sorry, pal, but I think there's been some kind of a mistake." What was wrong with that guy, I'd ask. He seemed nice and offered to pay in cash. He had an elevator, for God's sakes. Are you out of your mind? That was good money. Kevin would throw out his little communist laugh, a light chuckle that meant absolutely nothing to my landlord, the utility company, or the terrorists holding my student loan. The best of times were bright, crisp autumn afternoons after we'd finished moving a massage therapist or female weightlifter from the Upper West Side to some faraway neighborhood in Brooklyn or Queens. Traffic would be heavy on the bridge due to an accident as we sat in the front seat, listening to a translation of Chairman Mao speaking about the Great Leap Forward. When the tape became too monotonous, I'd ask Wayne about his days at the reformatory and pleasantly drowse as he spoke of boys who had killed their brothers over an ice cream sandwich. Eventually, the New York skyline would appear on the horizon and we'd snap to attention. If you happen to live here, it's always refreshing to view Manhattan from afar. Up close, the city constitutes an impressive series of staircases, but from a distance, it inspires fantasies of wealth and power, so primal that even our communists are temporarily rendered speechless.
David Sedaris is author of the book Naked. His guide to New York was produced by the staff of This American Life.